And, I'm sorry, are we ready? We are still, the committee is still called to order. We just moved rooms, and I closed those two public hearings. But I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 3157. And to start with, I'd like to call up immediately Christy Split, Dave Robertson, and Sarah Ryan. Okay, there they are. And I think we're going to start with Christy.
Thank you.
And we'll ask questions at the end of the panel.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Christy Split. This is your annual Christy Split testifying in front of the Environment, this time it has a new name, committee. I am Representative Ben Cannon's legislative aide. A little over 4 years ago, not quite Representative Ben Cannon lured me to the legislature from the confines of Solve in Hillsboro, Oregon. It's the legendary nonprofit founded by Tom McCall, and it's also the administrator of the Adopt a River program, which we're talking about today as we discuss House Bill 3157. The reason I'm sitting here today is because Solve is a 501c3, and they have very strict bylaws regarding political issues. Employees like Sarah Ryan and board members like Dave Robertson cannot advocate for or against legislation. So here I am. Former employees can do whatever we want in support of this excellent organization and a bill like this that will make it a little bit better. When Solve was founded, stopping Oregon litter and vandalism was its mission. But as the organization learned more and more about other threats to the natural resource heritage of our state, they began to do more and more. Today, the organization works on everything from litter removal to invasive species removal, from service learning, which is what I did when I worked there, to native species planting, and sometimes they do all of this at once. Adopt a River is a partnership between Solve and the State Marine Board. It recruits, the program recruits organizations, businesses, and individuals to adopt a stretch of Oregon River and keep it cleaned up. Unfortunately, the program is limited in its scope because Adopt a River funds cannot be used to remove invasive species. We have an expert on invasive species here today who can address why this sort of work would be so important, and I will leave it to them to have that discussion. But I will tell you this. In 2010, over 52,000 pounds of litter were removed along 500 miles of adopted waterway over the course of nearly 1,800 volunteer hours. What if those same volunteers had been able to remove invasive weeds? What if Solve staff had been able to show these volunteers the telltale signs of, say, a hawkweed and help them to remove them from this particular adopted waterway? While these two can't say it, I can. It would be a better program, and this is a bill that has no fiscal impact, so I do hope that the committee will choose to support the legislation and move it along in the process. So Sarah and Dave are here to talk to you about Solve and talk to you about this program and answer any questions you have about it. I'm just here to say that this bill, it's a good one, and you should pass it on. Thanks.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Dave Robertson. I'm here today in my capacity as a board member of Solve. I've been on the board for about 6 years, was chair last year of the board, and this year I'm kind of past chair. I am past chair. Thanks very much for taking up this bill. I'd like to reserve most of my time for Sarah, who's really the expert on the program. Solve's mission is to bring Oregonians together to improve the environment and build a legacy of stewardship. So really what we're trying to do, two of our main goals in our strategic plan are to engage people, whether that's on a beach cleanup or restoration of a watershed, and also at the same time to educate them so that we've got future generations who have got some might otherwise not have a connection to the land, have some connection to the land. So Adopt a River is one of those programs that enables us to do that. And I'll go ahead and turn it over to Sarah, who's our program coordinator and can talk a little bit more about what the program does and how it works. Thanks.
My name is Sarah Ryan, and I work at Solve as the program manager. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the program and then see if there's any questions about the implementation of it. We work with about 150 folks who have adoptions across the state. There are 33 adoptions in the Portland metro area, but there are also 11% of the adoptions are in the valley, 18% of the adoptions are down the coast, 18% of the adoptions are on the gorge. And 14% of the adoptions are in eastern and central Oregon, and only 4% are in southern Oregon. It's really a statewide program. The volunteers who participate in this program are very self-motivated and really have a piece of river that they're passionate about and want to take care of. Different types of folks that adopt do different adoption styles. There's a group out at Big Creek along the coast where it's retirees who have gotten together to pick up trash once a week, and they take turns dividing up the responsibilities. Another place out on the Snake River on the eastern side of the state, it's a whole community that has gotten together to adopt a part of the river around them, primarily because rafting is a huge part of their economy out there. And there's one on the Malala where she actually does two huge events with over 50 volunteers during the year to remove trash. And she also already does some invasive removal, but just doesn't report that to this program. All of our other programs at Solve do track invasive plant removal, so we have the systems in place for tracking the different types of plants and are able to report that easily back to the agencies that we work with. So other than that, I'm open for any questions you have about the implementation of how the program works.
Thank you. Got questions from the committee? Representative Boone?
I was just looking at you.
Okay.
Good to see you. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Co-chair of Kent.
Thank you. So are you prohibited from doing the invasive species removal now? Is it your interpretation of the law that it's not possible for your volunteers to do this under the program?
Yes. Okay. Without a change.
To follow up on that, you need the authority, but you're not specifically prohibited, but you don't want to move ahead until you've actually got the authority.
Right.
Okay, and follow up.
Please.
I'm pretty new to the Adopt a River program. Okay, I haven't been out. I haven't volunteered, shamefully. How is it funded? It Marine Board mm-hmm. is working with you. Talk about the dollars.
Marine Board gives us around $31,000 a year and has for at least the last 6 years. We also have funding from the BLM that gives us $10,000 a year to run the program. The total program cost is around $50,000, and the rest of that is just through general fundraising that Solve does.
Okay. And what sorts of application does somebody who wants to adopt a river go through? Who are we talking about, and what do they mm-hmm. commit to? And
It's a fairly easy process. It's an online registration. You sign up, and we need written consent from the land managers, and our requirements are that it's public property. So if it's the BLM or the Army Corps, they sign, the local land manager will sign that permission. And then you commit to at least 2 miles for at least 2 years. And most people continue doing that for a number of years.
I wouldn't anticipate any more hazard situation than going out and picking up litter dealing with invasive species. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true. And Solve already has the guidelines for any type of invasive removal that we use for all of our other programs that would be applied to this program as well.
Any other questions? If not, thank you. Oh, please.
Can I interrupt? I forgot to mention one thing as a favor. We have Ashley Massey in the audience for the Oregon State Marine Board. They're neutral on this bill. I'm sure you're hearing that from a lot of state agencies this session. So she's here representing Marty Law and didn't seem particularly thrilled and excited about the idea of coming before such a daunting group of people. So I said I would try my best to register her neutrality and the neutrality of the agency.
We may have officials for
her. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. But since you spoke up again, how did you pronounce your last name, Christy?
It's split, like banana split, but with two T's.
But did you say plural?
No, only you make that mistake.
I thought you were mocking me.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, I should have. I wish I was that clever. Thank you very much for your time.
So, with that, we'd like to also invite up Mark Sitzma and Vern Holm as our next testifiers. If it's okay, we'll start with Mark. Just identify yourself for the record, and away we go.
Thank you. My name is Mark Sitzma. I'm Associate Vice President for Research at Portland State, but here today I'm testifying and representing the Oregon Invasive Species Council. Chairs, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify about House Bill 3157. This bill is really very similar to a bill passed last session that basically allowed the Adopt the Highway program to accomplish the same sort of goals that this bill does. That was successfully passed, and I think it's a successful program today that involves people that adopt the highway to remove and report invasive species. As you know, riparian and aquatic invasive species are quite damaging to Oregon. They can degrade stream and increase erosion, degrade stream habitat, clog waterways, and lead to flooding, displace native plant communities, and disrupt food chains in river and lake systems. Some of the species that we would be interested in the council in having adopt the river volunteers report and manage are things like Phragmites australis, an invasive reed that's very rare in the state. It's one of those examples of many volunteer eyes out there could help report new infestations and remove them quickly. Yellow flag iris, a really common aquatic weed in Oregon. Tamarisk is another one. It's a riparian weed that would be very easy for volunteers to identify. And things like nutria, where we have a study going on right now at Portland State where we're trying to map the distribution of nutria in the state. Nutria are an invasive mammal, a marine mammal. And it's really been very difficult to actually get information on their abundance and where they are. And, of course, knowing where things are is the first step in management of those sorts of invasive species. The council supports this bill wholeheartedly. The council will work with the Marine Board in developing a list of species that's called for in the bill and support the various agencies in if volunteers report newly discovered invasive species. We can also assist in training of volunteers if that's necessary. So, again, I'll just conclude. The council is very supportive of this bill and encourage you to pass it. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
My name is Vern Holm. I'm coordinator for Northwest Weed Management Partnership. My job entails building the programmatic and technical capacities of 6 cooperative weed management areas in Oregon in 15 northwest Oregon counties. I also sit on the board of directors of the Oregon Invasive Species Council and the Institute for Applied Ecology. Today I'm wearing the hat of the Northwest Weed Management Partnership and the 6 CWMAs, cooperative weed management areas. I have listed on the letter I have submitted all the technical reasons that I feel this bill is worthy of support. But really the reason I'm here is I deal a lot with grassroots community efforts, and I was absolutely thrilled to hear about the Adopt a River bill. We're well acquainted with the Adopt a Highway bill and the Adopt a Highway for Weeds that was passed last year. That's all already in the works, and people are doing that now. And the Adopt the River thing can only build on the successes of that. It's my anticipation that one of the benefits of this, as was pointed out by the panel earlier, is the further education regarding invasive awareness, and I'm pretty excited about the opportunities that are going to be brought to folks here, especially folks that I feel that are underserved as far as representation, as far as stewardship, such as anglers, sportsmen's group, and boaters, and their awareness to invasive species. So I'm thrilled, and I do hope it passes.
Thank you for your testimony. Before I look for questions, Mr. Sisman, my committee won't be surprised when I say I just need you to explain something to me again that you already explained. What's the relationship between the control of these weeds and monitoring, for instance, the nutria? I didn't get that.
Chairs, members of the committee, there are a number of invasive species besides weeds that we deal with, and some of them, one of them at least, is an aquatic mammal called nutria. So my point there was that these volunteers can be out doing their litter pickup and report not only weeds, but also other species such as nutria. So there's no really connection between the two species other than that they're both in, they're all invasive.
And you could use the volunteer eyes and ears to assist maybe in other areas besides just picking up the weeds.
Oh, yes, definitely. Chairs, members of the committee, I think that's one of the real values of this program is, you know, identifying and finding those new infestations of invasive species is really key to managing their population. So having those multiple sets of eyes out there trained and knowing what they're looking for would be very valuable.
Thank you. Question from Representative Krieger.
Paul Mark.
Hi.
Been a while. Say, I've noticed over the last 8 years, there's hardly a lake that I go to that the aquatic weeds, basically aquatic weeds, have not almost taken it over to where a couple of them, I didn't even launch my boat, put it back in the, you know, over the pickup, got in and just drove off because it was an absolute solid mat. We used to see that maybe in August, September. It's that way in May. They hardly die down enough and they come back. Do you know if the state is doing anything about that? Because I can see over time where more and more people are fishing warm water game fish in our lakes, ponds, log ponds, that fishery is going to go away.
Chairs, members of the committee, I think that's one of the values of this early detection program, because once species get that abundant, so widespread that they're everywhere, there's really not management you can do. To manage the weeds in Ten Mile Lake, for example, would be, I just don't know how you could do it. In those situations, you just manage sort of spot managing locations like boat ramps so you can get your boat out. But to try and manage these species when they're so prolific and spread throughout the lake, it's very difficult to do. And why they're more abundant now, I don't know. I haven't been down in your neck of the woods recently to Ten Mile and those lakes down there. But even 10 years ago, the Eurasian water milfoil was and Brazilian aledea were the two species that were real problematic down there. Department of Ag does have an aquatic weed program that they work. We at PSU work with Department of Ag fairly closely, relatively closely, but most of the work we do is focused on those species that are either present in very low abundance, low enough that we can actually go in and manage them, like Spartina, for example, or those species that aren't here yet, like hydrilla, that we want to keep out of the state. So I think one of the problems is a lot of these weed species, particularly aquatic weeds, are so widespread and abundant that I don't think we have the budget in the state to manage them very effectively. And the most we can hope for is just sort of spot control to sort of alleviate problems around docks and boat ramps. That's about, I think, all we can do in those situations.
Some places that they're using grass carp, I guess some of them are treated so they can't reproduce. Do you have any information if that's been effective in those places? I understood that they put them in at different age classes with a little chip in them that dissolves within 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, so that that population, you hit them hard, the second, third, and fourth year, they start dropping out from the rotenone that is in the fish that dissolves. You know anything about that?
Members of the committee, Co-Chair Krieger, I've heard of that. I haven't seen any studies on the efficacy of that, but typically grass carp for aquatic weed control are sort of either or. They're sort of trying to balance on a knife edge because the stocking rates are very sensitive. The plant populations can be easily eradicated if the stocking rate is just a little bit too high. There was a study done in Washington State about 10 years ago where they looked at that. They did a survey of all the lakes that were stocked with grass carp, and essentially they found either the grass carp eliminated all the weeds in the lake or they didn't eliminate enough. So it was an either-or situation. And the interesting thing about that study was that when they interviewed the people that lived on the lakes, even in the lakes where the grass carp didn't do anything, there was no measurable difference in the amount of weeds in the lake, the people were still satisfied. They were happy the grass carp were stocked. So they sort of adopted the grass carp and they liked them, and there's something had been done, they became their pets, and so they were actually satisfied with the results, even though it didn't make a difference on the weed abundance.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your earlier reference to in regards to the extermination of nutria. The eyes and ears, I was tempted to say that maybe the pelts would be important too, but I don't want to go there, Mr.
Thanks,
Chairman. So.
Thank goodness you resisted that.
But in all sincerity, is one whose district has a number of dikes that have been undermined by nutria. I'm curious, would this be a government-led campaign, or would we ask the public to join in it, or how do we go after nutria? Tactical strikes.
Chair, Representative Witt, right now we have about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a regional meeting to address nutrient management in the state. At that point, nobody had actually made a decision about what to do about them. We knew they were here, and they were sort of just accepted, or, you know, there was really no management plan. So we had a regional meeting, and as outcome of that meeting, we realized there was lots of information we needed before we could actually come up with a strategy for what to do, or even if we could or should do anything. So since then, we've had some funding from USGS, and I have a graduate student working on his PhD, actually doing that work, trying to identify the abundance, different control methods, what can we do, sort of some investigation on that, that's sort of preliminary to putting together a management plan. I think in some watersheds, it's possible to eradicate nutria through an intensive trapping effort. They've certainly done that in Chesapeake Bay and where they've infested back there. And even in New Orleans and in the mouth of the Mississippi, where the Louisiana wetlands, they've done a lot of work on nutrient control with a bounty program. It's like $5 per nutrient tail. People get reimbursed. And that's been effective. It's not an eradication program. It's a control program. I think we need to know more about how nutria behave in the Pacific Northwest. We have a lot of urban nutria populations around Portland. People feed them, and that changes their behavior. Normally, they're nocturnal, but in Portland, they're out during the day because that's when people are feeding them. And so those kinds of things make a difference. In your district, it's more rural. You could probably even do a shooting them as an option. We have a trapping study going on.
They don't behave well. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you for indulging me.
No, that's all right. I've agreed that nutria are a problem. Before our friends from Sol fear that we're going to start the nutria corps, maybe we should move on to any other questions. Representative Benz.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just as an aside, the bill on I'm not sure which page, but paragraph 4 outlines the 4 different agencies that the Marine Board is supposed to consult with on the invasive species. That plays nicely into where the meeting we just came from. I also am curious why OWEB isn't on that list. Not because I want to add to your work or modify the bill. I'm just thinking there's all kinds of groups working on this right now, and I'm happy for it. But it seems like it's unfortunate it couldn't just be the Invasive Species Council.
I'll address that. co-chairs, Representative Benz. I don't. You know, the OWEB does fund some invasive species control program, and much of that, particularly for weeds, is funneled through Department of Ag, is my understanding. And I wasn't involved in drafting the bill, so I can't answer your questions specifically. But I can tell you that relative to what's happening in Washington in terms of coordination on invasive species, I think Oregon, through the council, has been very effective in bringing all the agencies together that have real management responsibilities. OWEB's a funding organization. They don't really have responsibility for managing weeds or anything. But they have, through the council, I think we've been able to coordinate activities among the various agencies relatively effectively. Oregon is looked at as sort of a leader in invasive species management, I think mainly because of the work of the council and how we brought various agencies together.
Thank you.
Please just follow up quickly on that question. Is, in your opinion, is this the right list? I mean, the bill would require the Marine Board to compile a list based on consultation with 4 different entities: Invasive Species Council, Department of Ag, Forestry Department, DEQ. Does this make sense?
Co-chairs and members of the committee, all of these agencies are members of the Invasive Species Council. The only agency I see that might be considered is Department of Fish and Wildlife, who has responsibility over some animal species that's not on the list.
If I may add to, please, committee members, that the entities or organizations listed here are pretty much primarily the people that do the on-the-ground management of invasive species, especially the Department of Agriculture. And one of the things that had come up with the Adopt a Road for Weeds is that it is possible to cause more harm than good by not having trained folks out in the field, and by conferring with these groups listed for any given stretch of river, knowledgeable appraisal of the native vegetation and what to take and what not to take would be there.
Yeah, just go ahead, just a comment that the 2009 bill for the Adopt a Highway program did not require this sort of management of a list in consultation with agencies. It's a more appears to be a more open-ended, you know, go out and take care of noxious weeds while you're at it. It's interesting to me, and perhaps sounds like perhaps preferable that this would be following a particular list. To have the list. I think if I understood your comments correctly, there's some risk in just sending volunteers off and saying, hey, get rid of invasives.
Correct, because at the same time as getting rid of invasives, they're going to be on the ground, perhaps amongst more delicate native flowers and forbs, and so folks have to be very careful of that. Currently, with the Adopt a Highway for litter, folks who take on a certain 2-mile stretch of road must submit a formal plan that's been overseen by a local group such as the local soil and water conservation district, or a state organization such as Department of Agriculture or ODOT vegetation managers. So, care is being made to cause no harm, only good.
Okay, that's good. Thank you both for your testimony. We've got just a couple minutes left, but I'm going to ask if Ashley Massey would come up and just briefly talk to us a bit. And if our Department of Ag rep would like to come up, you're welcome. And Ashley, we're glad you're here. If you just identify yourself, your college, your high school, no grade points are needed, but just whatever you'd like to share.
My name is Ashley Massey. I'm the Public Information Officer for the State Marine Board. I graduated from OSU.
Right. Now, would you like to say a few words about this, or would you just like to be available for questions?
And hopefully I can answer them. If not, I can certainly get back to the committee.
Okay. Here's a question right here.
Thank you, Mr. And thank you for making yourself available. The bill does call out your agency as the sort of lead on this program, and I just want to ensure that you can manage this within your existing workload. I guess I'm trying to anticipate whether or not there will be a fiscal associated with the what appear to be very modest additional tasks that are envisioned for the agency under this bill.
I think it's certainly doable, Chair and members of the committee. I think it's doable based on the fact that there isn't any financial increase or load or burden to the agency. We already have excellent coordination and communication skills with the Invasive Species Council. We have a grants coordinator that's responsible for all of the funding, and it works very seamlessly at this point. We're excited about the opportunity to develop a robust list and work more for the outreach and education component.
Thank you. That's my only question.
Okay. Others? Anything to add?
My name is Dan Hilburn. I'm administrator of the Plant Division for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. I'm also a member of the Oregon Invasive Species Council. I'm wearing my Department of Ag hat today, and the department doesn't have a position on this bill. But I am authorized to say that weeds are very important in riparian areas. Removing them is a good thing to do. And there's one thing that I would add that hasn't been mentioned yet, but the number of tools that we have for dealing with weeds in riparian areas has gone down a lot recently. So this idea, I think, holds a lot of merit. And so even though we don't have a position, it makes good sense.
And I would like to note, Chair and members of the board, that the Marine Board also is neutral in its position here.
Thank you for getting that on the record.
We have a question from Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have to ask, did you go to Oregon State University?
Co-chairs, okay. Representative, I had two daughters that did. So I have paid a lot of money to Oregon State University.
State appreciates that. All right, thank you for your testimony. Colleagues, unless there's some significant fiscal, if you have an objection to this bill, I would tell one of your co-chairs quickly, because I think we will we'll close the public hearing, but we'll be happy to schedule this and move it along. Any other comments on this bill?
Good bill.
It's a good bill, according to Representative Boone. And with that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3157. Any reminders for Thursday that we need to do? Then I will close. Is there one here? Then I will close the House Committee on Environment, Energy, and Water.